Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Yeah, baby, here we go. Headlines on a rainy Thursday afternoon right here on 950 KJR. Of course, brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Show me the money!
News in the NFL, Cam Newton is back 20 months after getting let go by Carolina, re-signs with the quarterback-needy Carolina Panthers today, and Odell Beckham Jr. has signed with, wait for it, the L.A. Rams.
Injury news in the NFL, Chiefs have designated starting running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire to return from the IR. Cowboys have lost defensive end Randy Gregory for a few weeks with a calf injury, and Kyler Murray did not practice again today. He is day-to-day getting set for a game against the Panthers.
We got the Kraken tonight, baby, against the Anaheim Ducks. Kraken 4-8-1, have lost 8 of 11. Face-off, 7 o'clock, pregame show 6:30 with Mike Benton. And by the way, speaking of Anaheim, their GM, Bob Murray, resigning today, will enroll in an alcohol abuse program. The move comes one day after he was placed on leave pending an investigation into improper conduct.
Browns signed three-time All-Pro Joel Batonio to a three-year extension, $48 million, second-largest contract for a guard ever, and the Jets have announced that Jackson's favorite quarterback, Mike White, will be the starter moving forward against Josh Johnson.
That son of a bitch. NCAA basketball, Huskies and NAU, 7:30 tip-off, 7 o'clock pregame show. That's over on 1090 tonight because of the Kraken game on 950. Huskies 0-1 after a loss to NIU on Tuesday.
Hey, don't do that to me! Give me that hand. Don't do that to me.
Your home for the 12th man and the NFL presents Mike Holmgren.
Say, on sprint option, if they rush that guy that wide, loaded doesn't get it done. Go to something else.
Brought to you by Toyota of Kirkland. Check out their entire vehicle inventory at toyotaofkirkland.com or stop by their showroom. Buy Redbox. Redbox has the newest movies fresh from the theater for under $2 a night. Go to the box or stream on demand. And buy Real Steel. If you want power and reliability, you want a Steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com.
This is what I had my little peewee guy, Pop Warner, when I start coaching. They can do it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
Now, Mike Holmgren on Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJR.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Can't start it that way.
No, you can't. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, because everyone's riding on your shoulders now.
Here's the thing, though, that just occurred to me about that open that we always play every week, and we always talk to Mike about it. Was it really his money, though? He says he paid millions of dollars. Wasn't really coming out of your pocket, though, right?
No. So it was the people of Green Bay,
yeah,
right?
Technically, it wasn't really your money. It was somebody else's money, right? So it didn't hurt that bad.
Well, I guess you could look at it that way. I trust the players understood what I was saying.
I got you. I'm just waiting for you to wave me off one day so I can say, don't do that to me. Don't give me that hand. I cannot wait for you to do that. Well, Mike Holmgren's with us back home in Kirkland. And, Mike, lots of stuff to talk about, NFL, college football. Let's start there, though, because when it comes to all things football, you are the E.F. Hutton. Everyone wants to know what the hell you're thinking, man. So the Jimmy Lake situation on Montlake, he's been suspended. Eligible to come back on Sunday. We're waiting to see if that's actually going to happen. Did you see the altercation with the player on the sideline Saturday? And if so, what'd you think of it?
I saw it not during the game, but afterwards I looked at it. In fact, I looked at it a couple times. And you know what? I felt bad for him because I think it's an emotional business, and he was trying to get the player back and off the field and preventing a penalty perhaps. And heck, I thought it wasn't worthy of what happened to him. Mm. I didn't think. Mm. But having said that, I know the game and some things have changed dramatically since I was younger and first started out in the business. But I didn't think that was particularly fair at the university.
What type of coach-to-player physical contact have you seen in the past on the sidelines? And is it warranted at times, that type of contact that you saw?
I think it happens, yes. It is. Is it warranted? I don't know. You know, but, excuse me, players know that if they cross a line and, you know, there's a chance that they could get smacked, you know. When I was in college, holy Toledo, at USC, it was, it just happened often. You get smacked right in the helmet, you know, and wake up, pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, now it's different now. I'll admit to that. It's different now. But I think what he did, what it appeared to me he did, is the player was engaging with another player, acting. He wouldn't get off the field, and he was facing away, and Jimmy grabbed him, pulled him off the field, and then kind of just pushed him. Like I could see, say, go sit down, bang, you know.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's how I feel about it. It happens, and it certainly happened when I was growing up in this business.
Well, like you said, people's tolerance for things like that kind of reflects society, right? I mean, you know, people are chastised for spanking their kids now, for God's sakes, you know, which would have been, you know, hard to even fathom somebody getting ridiculed for that 30 years ago. But how do you think he responds to this? I mean, Dick and I have talked before about, you know, being the guy that got, you know, suspended for hitting a player. He's going to have to go on the road and recruit, you know, with that label hanging over his head. Rivals, you know, Mike will use that against him, especially with moms and dads on the road. How do you respond to this if you're Jimmy Lake?
Well, I think he has to respond to it and you know, just and give it his best now for the rest of the time. And the bigger question, I think, Dave, is how does the university respond to it? You know what I mean? It's tough right now. I mean, that's a tough thing. And by suspending him, they've already made a little bit of a statement, in my opinion. Again, the one that I don't agree with necessarily, but I think they have. And, Jimmy, all you can do as the coach is just continue to be the best coach you can be. And under the circumstances, that's not easy, but that's what he has to do.
How would you have handled it if you were the AD, Jen Cohen?
I would have called him in saying that you can't do this. I mean, if you know, we don't, you know, we're getting a lot of flack. Everything, there's nothing that isn't on video or on TV now. There's nothing. You can't do anything, you know. I used to talk about what's in the locker room stays in the locker room. That's not the way it is anymore. It just isn't.
Yeah.
And I remember it in Green Bay one time. I think I've told you the story of Billy Schrader, one of our receivers. We finally were going to meet the Vikings in Minnesota, finally. And he was on the far side of the field, and it was a punt, and we were just going to sit on it. But he hit a guy late, brutally late in the back, 15-yard penalty. I didn't see it because I was clean on the other side of the field, and my coaches were going, "Mike, you got to grab him, grab him." He did that, and they were all going crazy. So I, what, like a dummy, I grab him, and then I realized what had happened, and I shook his face mask and yelled at him, and I can imagine how that looked. And then the next day, of course, it wasn't that we beat the Vikings; it was what I did to this poor kid.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And so I apologized in front of the team. I apologized to him. I said, "This is what happened, and I'm sorry." And I think that's how I would think I would have handled it with Jimmy.
Yeah. How hard was that for you to go through?
You know, I screwed up a little bit, but I was really mad, and no one ever did that again. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it was the message got across to the team, and again, Dave, you know, it was a different time. You're right. It was a different time.
Totally different time. Well, Mike Holmgren again is with us on the air, and speaking of a different time, we got lots of stuff to talk about. Let's start with the Seahawks and Packers on Sunday. Russell Wilson's going to play. He hasn't played football in a month, literally four weeks, longest gap of his career where he's not been able to take a snap in the NFL. What should we expect out of him this weekend?
Well, that's a good question. I was thinking about that today, actually. Gathy came up and said, can he play? Is it going to hurt his hand? So I said, I don't know. You know, I mean, I think he's going to try and play. But with what they did to his hand, and I've gone through a surgery on my hand and trying to throw the ball, and then how long it took me to come back, it all of a sudden he hits a helmet, or you know something happens in the game. He goes to slide and he puts his hand down or whatever. You know, it's he'll want to play. Mm-hmm. He definitely wants to play because that's Russell Wilson. But should he? And that's the doctors. And the doctors say okay, and it sounds like they have, then I expect them to come out firing. It'll be interesting to see, though, how he throws the ball, how he takes a snap from center, those types of things. It's going to be a little different, I think.
if you were the OC, would you call the game differently, or would you call the game the same and then maybe have to adjust mid-game?
Well, I think I start out calling the game the same, Dick, and then see how he handled it, see how things are going. You know, he wouldn't want you to. You'd call the game the same way, and then if things are going well, you let it fly. If things aren't, then you have to be ready to make an adjustment. And you know, the thing what you have to do is make sure you have that conversation with Russell, because even if you had to take him out of the game, if you thought he was putting himself in at risk, you know, you got to have that conversation before the game starts, so no one is caught off balance by that, and then you have some a little bit of a scene on the field.
Well, you believe it or not, still hold the distinction, Mike, of being the last Seahawks head coach to win a game at Lambeau Field.
Really?
19. Don't act like you didn't know that. You know that. You didn't know that. Come on.
I didn't know that.
It says it.
It's been a long time since I coached.
It says it on your front door. Here resides the last Seahawk head coach to win a game at Lambeau Field. And it was your first game back in 1999. Oh,
I didn't know you saw that on my front door.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said it.
Yeah, Kathy put it up there. Monday Night Football with John Kitna. You walked into Lambeau Field nervous as hell about how the Packer fans would respond to you. And you won. And you won the game pretty good against Green Bay.
I do remember that game.
And yeah.
You're exactly right.
What do you remember about your emotions going back that night?
I was... It was my first time back, and it was such a special place in my life. But here I am now. I'm first time in a Monday Night Football and all the hoopla that went with that. And to the point where I told my kids, I don't want you going to the game. You know, and they were going to school in Chicago at the time, and they would come up to the games. Because I don't know. I told them, I don't quite know how this is going to work, and I'd just assume not you'd be exposed to anything if it's crazy. But then I walked out on the field, and Sherm Lewis, who had been my longtime coordinator, who has now stayed with the Packers and was coordinating the Packers, came up to me and says, "Welcome, give me a big hug." And that was the first thing that happened when I came out of the tunnel. And then I started hearing people yell, you know, and they were yelling nice things. I mean, it was good to see you, and, you know, it was just the opposite of what I thought it could have been. And so, and then our team, the guys played great. I mean, Cortez, Kennedy, I remember, they just played great. And it was a special win. Yeah, it was.
That was a good thing.
Green Bay was good.
Good thing you coached in the Midwest, though, right? Might have been different in Philly, Coach.
You know what? That's a pretty good point. I think it probably would be a little different in Philly.
Nine in a row they've lost, by the way. Nine in a row they've lost since then.
That's a long, long time. Mike, we spent some time talking about how Russell Wilson is going to come back. How about Aaron Rodgers? Do you think Aaron Rodgers misses a beat at all after sitting out for basically 11, 12 days?
I think there'll be a little bit of rust there, not having practiced or thrown or worked with the guys, I think. But I also made the statement, I think, that if anyone can do it, he could do it. He is pretty relaxed, it seems, most of the time, and he's pretty confident. But he hasn't practiced. He hasn't done anything. And then, you know, we really, down deep inside, don't know how he feels. You know, I mean, if this thing hit him pretty hard, you know, maybe he's not feeling so great, but maybe it's different. But he'll want to, after all the hoopla that went on with this thing.
Yeah.
If anyone's motivated to come out and play a great football game, it'll be Aaron. And so, I think it's just if they both play, wind up playing, it's really it's going to be a special ball game. I think all the way around.
You remember how that game went, by the way? Not to go back to that 99 game, but you won 27-7. John Kitna was 12 of 19 for 109 yards.
Oh, my God.
And you won the game because Brett Favre threw four picks in that game. Sean Springs had a blocked field goal he took back to the house. Derek Mays and Sean Dawkins both scored for you. How the hell do you go to Green Bay and beat Brett Favre with 100 yards passing?
No, I know. It's startling. And every time we play... The guys who I hired there and I knew, they thought that when Brett had to play against me, because we, that was, if you remember, that's, he was with the Jets when we won our last game there.
Yep.
Before I left the Seahawks, that I somehow I goofed him up. Somehow, you know. Now, it didn't happen in the playoff game back there. He had a great game, but
yeah.
Early on in his career, you know, it was like he tried too hard almost, you know, against me. And as a result, he did that. He did that night. That is for sure.
Yeah, I think he was more.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I also remember times when he'd make throws, crazy throws early in his career that I never expected him to make either. So, now I was wearing the shoe was on the other foot, so that was pretty good.
Yeah, I think he was more nervous than you were, Mike. But Mike Holmgren's with us, and Odell Beckham Jr., speaking of receivers, went to the Rams today. So they got Cooper Kupp, they got Robert Woods, they got Tyler Higbee, they got Odell Beckham Jr., and the Seahawks wanted him, and they didn't get him. How disappointed would you be if you're Russell Wilson to not have this guy?
Well, I think he'd probably be disappointed, but not just Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson, I think it's been reported that he reached out to
yes.
Odell.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it came down to contract and what the Rams, to my way of thinking, with their moves, not only with Beckham, but with Von Miller, they're going all out. This is their year. The Super Bowl is being played in their stadium. They want to be there, and they are loading up. If all those receivers, now they're banged up a little bit at receiver, but if the receivers that they have, Woods and Kupp and now Beckham and these guys, Higbee, that's a load. That's really kind of a special group of receivers, and if he gets along and fits in, I kind of think of Andre Rison coming to us, you know, when we won the Super Bowl.
Mm.
He comes in and makes, you're not quite sure how it's going to work, but it, in our case, it worked great, and I think there's this guy will really thrive there.
Would you have spent the $7 million on him, Coach, and picked him up off of waivers so the Rams couldn't get him?
You know what? I think I probably would have, because I was always of the mind that you get a chance to get a special player, get him. You get him. Well, he's under, you know, it's only for, we're only renting him. You've heard that. We're only renting him because we'll worry about that when it comes. And if he's great, we'll sign him again. We'll give him the contract. But I think if the team had a better record right now.
Yeah.
I'm guessing here, but if they had a better record right now, they maybe would have pressed a little harder to get him.
Okay.
That's one man's opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think if you're sitting there at 5-3 or 6-2 and still had a need at wide receiver, they would have pressed harder to get him. And how much of that, honestly, Mike, tells us maybe what John Schneider and Pete Carroll think of their chances this year, that they did not go out and make that move?
Well, I think, you know, again, we're speculating, but I think that they still believe they got a shot at the playoffs, and once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a long haul for them, and they've got to start playing better than they have so far, and if their record was better, I think they would have gone after them. That's all I'm saying.
See, Coach, I almost see it maybe the opposite way, that they've got nothing to lose at 3-5. And if they were 6-2 right now, they may look at their team and say, hey, we don't want to upset the apple cart bringing Odell Beckham in. I mean, is there a potential for that?
Yeah, that's the other side of the coin. I think, though, that you have Lockett and Metcalf. I'm just thinking you have Lockett and Metcalf. You got a guy who wants the ball. That those discussions and how that's going to work, because sometimes we go into games and we don't think Metcalf gets enough looks.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think Lockett get enough looks. Now we're adding one more really fine receiver, a guy, talented receiver, to the pile. You know, how's that? Is it going to disrupt anything? What's it going to do? You still have to, if like the Rams have those three guys.
Yeah.
Okay, but they're willing to throw the ball 35, 40 times a game. They're willing to do that. And from the feeling I get, I don't think the Seahawks are doing that. Or don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't shown that anyway. And so you're not going to get the ball as much as you would on another team. So I think all those things factored into the decision.
Yeah, they're also dead last in plays run in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So they need to run more plays. And to run more plays, you need better players. And I agree with you, Mike. I mean, look, the Rams did the exact opposite of the Hawks, right? They went out and got Von Miller, and they got Odell Beckham Jr. because they're going for it. The Seahawks did nothing at the deadline. They did nothing of significance to make themselves better in the last month or so. So it's hard to not think that that might give you a little bit of insight into where they think they are in the process. All right, Mike, we'll get a break. Hold on. Grab yourself a snack, all right, out of the fridge. It's right behind you in the kitchen. Don't go too far, and we'll call you back in a few minutes, all right?
All right, bud.
All right, Mike Holmgren's with us. We got more to talk about. The NFL is hot and heavy. Lots of stuff going on around the National Football League. More thoughts from Mike potentially on what's happening on Montlake as well. We'll get to Mike Holmgren next on 950 KJ.
Now back to Mike Holmgren, brought to you by Toyota of Kirkland, by Redbox, and by your steel dealers on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right, we're going to hear a little bit from Russell Wilson coming up in the 5 o'clock hour.
Mr. Unlimited.
Gabe Neitzel does a show for ESPN Milwaukee. He will join us and talk Packers at about 5:30. And then Everett Fitzhugh, voice of the Kraken, coming up as well at 6 p.m. Mike Holmgren rejoins us from his palatial estate on the shores of Lake Washington. The man, the last man to beat the Packers in Green Bay is the head coach of the Seahawks. And, Mike, we live in a world where Jamal Adams just played the first half of the year and did not have a sack or a quarterback hit. How do we change that in the second half starting Sunday?
Well, it starts with the calls. They haven't brought him as much. And so I think there's a good chance that to help the defense just a little bit, that they will start calling his number again like they did last year. I think one of the reasons, perhaps, is they were kind of uncertain about the corner situation, and so they weren't going to call it the same way. The other thing is, I think the other teams, that when they get ready to play the Seahawks, they're more prepared this year, obviously, than they were last year, because no one brought the safeties like the Seahawks brought him last year. So those two things, but I think you're going to see more. I could almost guarantee you're going to see more of them coming really hard in the second half of the season.
How comfortable have you been with what you've seen from the corners? You got Trey Brown in there now. You got DJ Reed moving to the other side. And are they able now to kind of let Jamal Adams be a linebacker with just three guys, Quandre Diggs and the two corners back?
Well, you know, they switched him around so much, in my opinion, Dick. You know, I mean, settling in on your defensive guys, and you're used to guys, you know, Richard Sherman, whoever was opposite him, played the whole season, and those are the guys. And now they've... through injury and different things and competition, they were always talking about competition. They haven't done it that way. So I think if they settle, if in their mind they said, this is how we're going to go.
Yeah.
We've seen enough of these guys now in the first half of the season. This is how we're going to play from here on in, and let them know that. Then that develops a confidence not only in Kenny Norton and calling defenses, I think, but also in those players. That okay, it's my position now. I'm going. Now we'll see, you know. But I think there has been some uncertainty at the corner position, and if they haven't gotten certain by now, it probably isn't going to happen this season, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Mike Holmgren with us, and Dick asked you about Aaron Rodgers, and we got a guy coming on at 5:30 from Green Bay, Milwaukee to be exact, but really it's all one and the same out there. You know that. It's all sausage land. So I want to ask you, if you were in Green Bay, I mean, how do you think the Packer fans are reacting to Aaron Rodgers? You know, the whole vaccination thing, you know, the immunization claim, all that. You think Green Bay fans are ready to move on from Aaron Rodgers, or do you think they all still have back?
I think they're going to have his back. They're pretty loyal, and he's been so good for them for so long. Now there's going to be guys kind of mad at him for this, because really you figure they lost a game last week that because he wasn't there, you could make a case for that. And so they've got a really fine football team, and if you know, they miss out by a game or you know, this goofs up the chemistry on the football team or something happens, people will point to this and say, geez, why did he do that?
Right.
You know, and you know, that, quite honestly, that's how I'm feeling about him. And he's one of my favorite guys ever. And, you know, I think it's a shame. It's too bad.
Coach, take us back to when you decided to completely abandon the run, because the reason I ask you is if Chris Carson comes back and A, gets injured again, or B, just doesn't look like Chris Carson, they might have to do that because they obviously don't have other options besides Chris Carson. Talk to us about how that worked for you and if the Seahawks would be able to do that in the second half of the season.
Well, you know, Dick, I you guys know me pretty well, and the fact is I like throwing the ball. But at the same time, when we had Sean Alexander, we were pretty balanced, and he got a lot of yards rushing. But we hit a stretch in there, I remember, that as hard as we would try and as much as we'd prepare, we just didn't have the horses. It wasn't working. And instead of trying to... maybe you guys were at the press conference when I said it, you know, I don't know, but instead of just trying to, I just said, that's it. And I told my coaches that I said, we're going to throw now, you know, and well, wait, we got to run the ball. No, you don't have to run the ball. If it's not working, you shouldn't run the ball, you know? And so we went to that. And I remember one of the first games we played the Giants and Tom Coughlin was their coach. And we just came out flinging it almost every, it reminded me of when I was at BYU. You know, you ran the ball once in a while. And it against them that day, it caught them off guard, and it worked. And so, yeah, I probably had a little temper in those days. I'm calmer now. And I don't think I made that decision haphazardly. And it was a little bit of a crazy decision when you think about how the game should be played, how you want balance in your offense, but yeah. I just decided to do it and it worked for us.
Well, Mike Holmgren's with us. I think there's more meat on the bone with this Aaron Rodgers conversation because I want to bring something up. I think it was Jackson Dick. I don't know, maybe it was a third party. Maybe it was somebody else totally different. Maybe I'm making this all in my head. Somebody asked if this was the week of the Super Bowl. Was it you that brought that up?
Yes.
And Aaron Rodgers tested positive for the coronavirus. Jackson said it.
Oh, Jackson said it.
Would the league cover that up and let him play in that game, or would they pull him just like they pulled him before the game against Kansas City? What do you think would happen?
No, they'd pull him.
Wow.
They'd pull him one of the reasons we said earlier, you can't keep, and there is nothing you can keep secret. You just can't do it. And so as much as they would like to maybe say, oh, gee, what are we going to do here? It would get out. It would get out. And once it got out, if he played, it'd be a big mess for whoever the commissioner was and whoever was doing it at the league. Heads would roll. It wouldn't be a good thing. So they're not going to take the chance. Heck, if they're going to fine me $1 million for trying to sneak my young kids on the field when I went into the Ring of Honor, what do you think they do to
wow.
in the Super Bowl?
Is that what it would have been, by the way, $1 million?
That's what I was told.
Jeez.
You know, because I said, I'm just going to sneak them out there, and then the Seahawks checked for me, which was very nice of them.
So but, what would your reaction have been? I think I want to know, and I think I know the answer. I just want to push your buttons here for a second. I want to hear you say it. I want to hear you say it over the air. What would your reaction have been if you were the coach of the Packers, and this is a playoff game, and Aaron Rodgers can't play because he got COVID?
Yeah, I'd be angry beyond words. I mean, that would be a volatile session, you know. And I get fired up right now thinking about it.
Oh, I know you do.
And I'm old, but it's a team. You preach certain things all the time about how important it is and being a good teammate and team. And then all of a sudden, this is anything but that. It's just the opposite of that. And it's not right. And so I would probably be mad at myself because I wasn't getting the correct message across. But I can't imagine their head coach didn't know this.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it.
Yeah,
and so they're just rolling the dice. They're rolling the dice, and all of a sudden they lost. And then now the league, what the league should do is, and I'm not, you know, I get mad at the league, right with everyone else. But what the league should do is come down hard on this. This was not right,
Coach. I want to ask you about another former MVP quarterback, Cam Newton's back in the league. What are your thoughts there? He's back in Carolina.
Well, you know, I Cam's a different soul. He really is. But I like him, and I got a chance to talk to him when he was in the Super Bowl, and we had a great talk. And when I interviewed him in my office prior to the draft, we had a great visit. And he is really a talented guy. I mean, now you got to kind of, you know, I always thought I could take any quarterback and help him. I just felt that. And so he has all the physical tools, and he's gifted that way. And if he wants to be good and wants to play again and wants another chance at it, this is a great, going back to his old team, this is a great chance for him. And he is he's a good athlete. He's good. And this could help Carolina a lot.
Yeah.
So I was happy to see him get that chance.
Well, it makes the game funner, I can tell you that right now. It makes it a hell of a lot more intriguing. They're playing the Cardinals this weekend, and who knows if Cam will play, but at some point it's going to be entertaining having that goofball back in the NFL. So I think you're right. Yeah, the NFL is better off when it's got characters, and he's a character.
Yeah, he is a character. I'm not sure I could pull off the clothes he wears.
Ooh.
If I tried.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Well, he's dressed up like Buffalo Bill today. I'll send you
a
picture.
Cowboy today.
Yeah, what he looks like. I mean, you may have worn that when you were like 4 years old on your hobby horse, by the way. I'll send it over. All right, Mike, you're the man. Great stuff. Enjoy this terrible weather. Stay inside and soak up the fact that you got at least a few more days left as the last Seahawks coach to beat the Packers in Green Bay.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right,
have a good weekend, guys.
You bet. Mike Holmgren with us. We're going to break 49451 testimonials. So Rick Neuheisel said earlier today that he thinks Jimmy Lake should come back as the head coach of the Dogs. He thinks he's been humbled. He thinks the Huskies have invested in him, and he thinks he should stay as the coach of the Dogs. You agree with that? And have our expectations been reset with the Seahawks? If they come back and they find a way to make the playoffs, does that make this year a success? Yes or no? 49451. Coming up, testimonials on 950KJ.org.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
We're going to hear from number three coming up in the 5 o'clock hour.
Welcome to my happy place.
Yeah, baby, Russell Wilson's back. He spoke. He'll talk about the new season starting on Sunday, the second half of the year. Disappointment of not getting Odell Beckham Jr. All right, so Russell Wilson coming up. Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee with a take on the Packers. Coming up, Everett Fitz you. I know you all wanted Everett Fitz me and Everett Fitz us. He's not available. Instead, Everett Fitz you will join us on the radio show. Come on, somebody laugh. That's funny. That
I
is
smiled.
Radio comedy
I just
gold.
Didn't laugh.
And you idiots, it's going right over your head.
No,
unbelievable.
I don't think it's going over our
Unreal.
Head, is it, Jackson? I think we got the joke.
The support I get on this show is pathetic. I sit there all day long coming up with creativity dripping out of my mouth like that, and you guys can't even give me a courtesy chuckle.
Well, my mic wasn't even on.
If Jackson and I laugh at that, then the listeners will always know that we have disingenuous laughter.
Yeah, you guys suck. You know that? Both of you. The two of you. You suck together. All right, what do you got? 49451, let's go.
Of course, the Seahawks' expectations have changed. Now we just need to make the playoffs. We missed Russell for three games.
Okay, just make the playoffs, and you're all good to go. 9-8, make the playoffs, lose in the first round, no problem, it's all good. Jackson, 10 seconds, go.
No, this team, doesn't matter if Russell misses three games, they should not only make the playoffs. If they have Russell Wilson starting in the playoffs and he's out, okay, you just make the playoffs. But if he's playing in the playoffs, the minimum expectation should be at least one playoff win, if not more.
When you're on Easter weekend, your wife is over here braiding your hair.
All right, let's see what else we got. Go ahead.
I never changed my expectations. I expected to barely make the playoffs and get bounced in the first round, same as so many other years.
Expectations are low, he says. Okay, so one guy says no, one guy says yes, one guy says no. What do you say?
Well, I think, what if they were 12-5 in the sixth seed? You could be a 6 seed at 12-5.
Yeah, could be.
Or a 7 seed at 9-8.
Absolutely.
So what's the difference? Yeah. Russell Wilson, does that meet your expectations if they go 12-5 all year with Russell Wilson, but they're the 6 seed because they play in the best conference
in
football?
Hold on. 6 seed. And then do they lose that first game?
The difference is this team is judged by what they do come playoff.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Should,
it doesn't matter.
Should that change because of the injury to Russell Wilson? That's the question.
No. I think it depends on what your final record is at the end of the season.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you add two wins to whatever the final game is because we saw the Pittsburgh and the Saints game, and there is no doubt in my mind they win both of those games.
So
with
if they
Russell
go
9-8,
and eight, they would have been 11-6. They go 10-7, they would have been 12-5.
That's right. That's
says
right.
Dick Fay.
But what does it matter in the regular season?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you lose in the because you said you could go 12-5 and still have to play.
I don't think 12-5 wins this division.
Right. You could go 12-5 and still have to play on the road. So unfortunately, I think this football team has kind of become like what Husky basketball used to be when all we gave a damn about is what they do come tournament time. And all I really care about is what this team does come playoff.
God, I wish Husky basketball was in that situation.
Not anymore.
Now.
They're not. Not anymore.
Which is exactly why you shouldn't turn your nose up with what the Seahawks are doing right now, because it could be Husky basketball in 4 years.
Don't turn your nose up, you
Seahawks Twitter. Jackson Phelps.
If you need to get rid of Russell Wilson, that's what it'll be like.
What's next?
I looked it up. While Jim Mora Jr.'s middle name is in fact Lawrence, Jim Mora Sr.'s middle name is Ernest, not Francis.
Damn it.
Nice try, Softy.
I'm sorry. I did not say that as a fact. I said that with a twinge of skepticism. I wasn't sure if I was correct or not. But I am right in saying that they are not technically a junior and senior because they have different middle names, which leads me to ask one question. If your name is Jim and you're going to name your son Jim, why not just go all out and make it a junior and be done with it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they're honoring somebody. There's some story in their family about somebody, blah, blah, blah.
But if
it makes it so much more easier for us.
But can you imagine if I went to my dad, and my dad was thrilled that we named my son Richard III.
Yes.
But could you imagine?
Are you a second, by the way?
I'm a junior,
you are.
Yeah.
You're a junior.
And in fact, you can imagine if I go to my dad and say, we're naming our son Richard. Yeah. But you know what? We're changing the middle name, so he's not going to be a third.
So your middle name is what? Lee.
Lee, yes.
And your father's name is Lee.
Lee. And Dixon's name is Lee.
Yes. Right, okay. So, like, if for example, if your father decided to give your middle name, make it penis or something, it is done. Forget it. The line is broken. Doesn't make any sense. Makes no sense. If you're going to be a Richard, if you're all going to be Dicks, then name us the same so we all can go in line. Doesn't make any sense
to
me.
We can all be Dicks together.
I don't get it. What's next?
Softy, you're in the minority. I think about OBJ.
Ooh.
This is best thing that could have happened for the Hawks. Rams now have a cancer.
Interesting. Interesting.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
So he says that more Seahawk fans did not want Odell Beckham than did want Odell Beckham.
It was pretty close, wasn't it?
I'll say this right now. That's not what Twitter says at all. And Twitter's a real place, baby. It is.
I bet it was pretty close.
Yeah, here's the thing about that, because you mentioned that the other day, that Twitter's not a real place.
Twitter's not a real place.
Well, are there not real people behind those Twitter accounts?
Yes, but there are fringe elements.
Well, so what? They're still real people.
Yeah, kind of.
What do you mean, eh? Are they all computers? Are they all bots? And some of them are.
Hey, I participate in those Twitter polls, so I'm one of them.
Did you want Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yes.
Did you want Odell Beckham Jr.? So we're 3-for-3, so that guy can shut up. What's next?
P.J. Walker is the man. Uh-huh. I'd take him over Geno Smith in a heartbeat.
Ooh, that's the starting quarterback for Carolina, right, this weekend?
Yes.
That's
his name? Unless Cam Newton steps in and they run the read zone to Christian McCaffrey every play.
They signed him today. Can he play 4 days? Maybe he can.
Why not?
I mean, the offense has changed a lot, though, because as Matt Rhule wasn't there when they got rid of Cam Newton.
Right.
And he brought the Baylor offense, right? And it's instead of Ron Rivera, whoever the hell the OC was for Ron Rivera, I would be pretty damn surprised if Cam Newton plays this weekend. Although, I tell you what, though, it would make it intriguing. I'd pay more attention to that game if
Absolutely.
Cam Newton's playing.
Well, how about 3rd and inches, 4th and inches?
Yeah.
Suit him up, man. No quarterback's better in 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1 than Cam Newton.
Did you guys see who the Carolina Panthers play next week and what could be Cam's first appearance, though?
No. Who's that?
Washington, who is coached by Ron Rivera.
Oh, wow. The intrigue. The intrigue dripping with intrigue.
They need to flex that to Sunday night.
Yeah. Does anybody really care?
No.
Honestly.
Not outside those two cities.
Well, because there wasn't a beef between Rivera and Cam, right?
No, he likes Cam.
There was no
Cam.
Beef.
He just
if they hated each other's guts, then awesome. Get it on national
TV. It did make a statement that Ron Rivera, who was desperate for a quarterback at the beginning of the season decided not to sign Cam Newton.
Right.
I told you something.
Right. It did. It did tell you something, that he knows he's a bozo more than Matt Rhule does. All right, 4:54. We'll get a break. We're going to hear from Russell Wilson, get a Packer update as well. And then we got Kraken hockey, baby. Everett will join us at 6:05 before the Ducks and Kraken at 7 o'clock right here on 950K.